Struggling with your faith? You're not the only one. You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show.
That show reminds us so much of, I don't know, just fantastic childhood memories.
Oh, yeah. That and Gilligan's Island were like my staples.
Were they?
Both of them were Sherwood Schwartz, too, weren't they, I think?
Sherman Schwartz?
Sherwood.
Sherwood. Is that his name?
Sure.
All I know is that when I found out that Anne B. Davis passed away, I kicked myself for not knowing about her story, but also reaching out to her. It would have been just fantastic to hear her spiritual journey. Of course, the actress who played Alice, the housekeeper on the Brady Bunch, Anne Branford Davis, passed away this week after falling at her San Antonio home. Anne had lived with Episcopal Bishop William C. Fry and his wife for 38 years, and last Friday night, Anne had said goodnight to the couple before retiring for the evening, and then while having breakfast Saturday morning, Anne's hairdresser called, wondering if everything was all right because Anne had missed her regular Saturday morning appointment. And Bishop Fry and his wife knocked on Anne's bedroom door, and when they got no response, they went in and unfortunately found her on the floor. She had fallen and hit her head in the bathroom, and Anne suffered a subdural hematoma, and eventually the 88-year-old succumbed to her injuries. Bishop Fry joins us today to remember Anne and share a little bit about her spiritual journey over the years. Bishop Fry, lovely to chat with you.
Well, thank you, Drew. It's good to be with you.
Wow. What a story that this lady has. And do you think her spiritual, you know, the spiritual side of her life was a very, very public thing? Did everybody know she was into God as much as she was?
I don't know. I think a lot of people did because she traveled around the country for a long time, several years, giving talks at various churches around the place.
Right.
So a lot of people did know, at least in the Episcopal Church they knew, but I'm not sure how much else was evident.
Was she one of those...
Except for her life.
Right, right. Was she one of those ladies that had enough of Hollywood and just retreated into the sort of the privacy or the solace of the religious community, do you think?
No, that wasn't it at all. She got involved in her late 40s. She got involved at her local parish church in a Bible study. And then, as she puts it, I began paying attention. The Bible seemed to open a huge treasury for her, and she began to see what she was missing. One time she told me that she had felt as though she was living in a great castle, but confined to one room. And suddenly the Bible study gave her the keys to all the other rooms, and was able to step out of that and discovered how important God was in her life and that she needed to do something about that. She was not reclusive at all, a private person, to be sure, but not reclusive. She wasn't hiding from anything. She just, as she put it, I got a better offer.
That's interesting. Was she married? Ever get married at all, ever?
No, never. Never married. Never married, so... We've been her only family for the last 38 years.
So, Bishop Fry, people, I mean, this is indeed, I would say, out of the ordinary for her to, A, live with you and your wife for 38 years. You know, that's not a typical scenario. For her to be single forever, you know, that's not a typical scenario. What do you say to people when they look in from the outside and they have a raised eyebrow to those two things?
Well, Drew, we used to live in an extended family household community. We had about 17 or 18 persons under the same roof when I was serving as the Anglican bishop in Colorado. People all devoted to the Lord and the church and doing various ministries on behalf of the church throughout Colorado. She saw that when she came to visit us a couple of times, and got curious about it and wondered what it would be like to live in such an extended family household community. So she asked if she could come for an extended visit, and she showed up in January of 1976. We put her, she had a home in Hollywood, but we put her in a room with two other single ladies. and she didn't seem to complain about that. Just an amazing gift of fitting in. Very down-to-earth person. She was a professional in every sense of the word, but not mesmerized by the Hollywood culture. Hmm. She would learn her lines, hit her spots, and do all of the stuff she's supposed to do in a very professional way, but then go back and have a normal life. With us, it was a somewhat abnormal life. She joined us for daily prayers, of course, and we were just totally centered in the family on God and whatever the Lord was doing in Colorado.
Well, okay, I'm not going to use the right words here, but it sounds like she was an Anglican nun.
She objected to that category. No, she was not a nun at all. Okay. Far from it. But she did honor the practices of the household. We were a very quiet, conservative group of people. It was something like an ecclesiastical Walton's family. You know, lots of people under the same roof, saying goodnight to each other. You know, goodnight, John, et cetera, et cetera. But that was about it.
You know, this is another shocking way to phrase this question, and my apologies here, Bishop Fry, but, you know, when celebrities get involved with a religious group, the religious group can get very excited about the fact that they now have a celebrity spokesperson, and I certainly should not use the name Tom Cruise in this scenario, but, you know, she was Alice. I mean, you had Alice living with you for 38 years. First of all, was she your maid?
No, far from it. No, housekeeping was not high on her agenda,
no.
And she didn't cook. In the past 18 years, living in San Antonio, when it was her night to cook, we went out to a restaurant. So she cooked all over town.
Oh, that's ironic.
And when people were surprised with her image, when people were surprised, expressed surprise that she didn't cook, didn't do housework, and so on,
yeah,
she would smile at them and say, "It's called acting, dearie."
Yeah. So. Oh, boy. All right, listen, on the phone with Bishop William Fry, I knew he wouldn't be comfortable with this term, but if I said to Ann B. Davis, "Ann, who is one of your spiritual mentors?" I would be convinced that she would say you. And I know that makes you a little uncomfortable, but that's only because you're a fairly humble fella. If you were as arrogant as I am, you would say, yes, I was one of her spiritual mentors.
Well, there's no doubt about that in certain terms.
Sure.
We shared a lot, talking about the gospel, about the church. The whole thing, we did share a lot. She traveled with me for a number of years when she first moved in. When I was serving as bishop there, I would be at a different parish each weekend, and she used to come along, which was wonderful. It took the focus of attention off the bishop and put it on Ann B. So she would be signing autographs after the service, always on the church bulletin, so if people wanted to show the autograph off, they would also have to admit that they'd been to church, which was a good kind of trick on her part.
Sure, sure.
She was a wonderful person in so many ways, avid sports fan. She used to say that the only real reality TV is sports on TV.
I agree.
Followed the University of Michigan religiously on their football games. When we lived in Denver, was a great Denver Broncos fan. Here in San Antonio, of course, she's been a San Antonio Spurs fan. In fact, when she was dying in the hospital, it was Saturday night a week ago, some of our daughters and daughters-in-law were in the hospital room with her, watching the Spurs game and telling her the score all the time. She was unresponsive, of course, but they sort of felt that somehow or other she knew the Spurs had won.
You know, I would have paid good money to see Ann B. Davis and Regis Philbin argue about University of Michigan versus Notre Dame. That would have been just a
That would have been a good one, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
And she was an avid sports person. She skied like crazy when we were in Colorado, joined a group called the Over the Hill Gang, and skied every weekend, was apparently very good at it.
Yeah.
And enjoyed that.
I want to play a little clip here, if you don't mind. This is my favorite, all-time favorite clip, and it's got a little bit of Ann in this clip, but this is my all-time favorite Brady Bunch scene. So just bear with us, Bishop Fry, while we do a little trip down memory lane for our listeners. Have a listen to this.
Kiss me.
So what is that, Bobby? You remember his?
This is Bobby.
Bobby's watching Humphrey Bogart on TV.
Just whistle.
And now he goes in front of the mirror.
Want me, sweetheart?
And he starts practicing his Humphrey Bogart. Now he walks into the kitchen, shaking his arms like Humphrey Bogart. And here he comes up to Ann B. Davis.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Alice.
Pork chops.
Huh? What else?
Applesauce?
Pork chops. And applesauce.
Pork chops and applesauce.
Well,
I ended up saying pork chops and applesauce.
I
think every day for 3 years. I just irritated everybody. Anyway, a nice little clip there and a little flashback down memory lane. Now, listen, I don't want to embarrass you, Bishop Fry, but you're a little bit older than I am.
Oh, yes, quite a bit.
Okay. Did the Brady Bunch mean anything to you or your life? Or, I mean, was it a sort of a thing for you back in the day?
No, to be frank with you, we lived in Latin America during the heyday of the Brady Bunch and didn't see the program. It was not until Ann B. moved in with us that I had a chance to look at some reruns and so on and get familiarized with the program. We knew her from her old Bob Cummings show, as Schulze, the secretary. That was the image we had of Ann B. So the Brady Bunch was a learning experience for me and my wife. I'm 84 years old, so you can put me in the right era.
Can we just pause for a moment? And I need to ask our listeners to pray for you and your wife. Just help us, maybe bring us up to speed on how your wife is doing.
She's doing fairly well. She has a lung disease, which is very serious. But she's coping very well. Last weekend, with all the excitement, her adrenaline kicked in, and she was almost back to normal. But she sleeps a lot. She's very tired, but very much part of the family, as you can imagine. And we're all in grief over Ann B.
Hmm.
Faith was wonderful.
Yeah. I don't want to embarrass you at all by bringing too much private detail into our, into the public eye here, but I know your wife is not well, and I would just simply ask our listeners to pray for you. What's your wife's name again?
Barbara.
Barbara. Okay.
We've been married 62 years.
Well, congratulations. Wow, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay, so it's been a week since Ann has been gone, and she has been with you and your wife for 38 years. You've had a week without her. I'm sure she's been, she's traveled before, and she hasn't been with you every day for her entire life. But this is a whole week without her on this planet. Does it feel weird now, Bishop Fry?
Oh, it does feel very strange. I almost called her for dinner the other night, passing by her bedroom.
Yeah.
Almost said, it's dinner time, Andy. Caught myself just in time. It does feel strange. There's a huge hole in the family here. We've been surrounded by our children and some of our grandchildren, and that's helped a lot. They all knew Ann B. We were really the family that she really raised. She raised our kids. Brady Bunch was, television, but in reality, she helped raise our kids and our grandkids. Very close relationship with all of them. And with lots of other people. I just got a letter today from a 40-something person who was the son of a bishop in Florida. Ann B. had been a guest in their house when this guy was 8 years old, and he was describing the awe of walking into the house one evening and finding Ann B. sitting there in 3D, not on TV, and so on. And he persuaded her to go to show and tell Monday morning at school. And he won the prize for the best show and tell of all time.
I guess so.
Great.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Did you have many people, you know, sort of from the world of celebrity reach out to you, Bishop Fry, after her passing?
Well, a number of former people from the Brady Bunch talked to us, of course, and Lloyd Schwartz, Sherwood's son, one of the co-creators of the Brady Bunch and Gilligan's Island and all that sort of stuff. We've been in close touch with them. But no other people from show business have, you know, given us a ring or sent us an email. I'm sure they're all grieving in their own special ways. You've seen the media storm surrounding her death.
Yes, and how have you handled that? Because, I mean, my goodness, you have been inundated, whether it be CNN or little old Drew Marshall show.
I've talked to a lot of people in various forms of media. I can't remember all the people who have called, television, radio, TV, that sort of thing. I'm sort of a little run down with all the interviews I've done, but nothing more than that.
Yeah.
And the storm is sort of quieting down now.
Bishop Fry, let me ask you just a little bit about your spiritual journey. And again, we're on the phone with Bishop William Fry. He was the spiritual mentor, one of Ann B. Davis's spiritual mentors. I'm sure she had many. By the way, just real quickly, who else would you put in that category? Who else do you think really impacted, you know, Ann's spiritual life?
I don't have a list of the names, but she had a little private list of people she called her fly fathers. Whenever she was traveling the country doing dinner theater or things of that nature, she would look up the local Episcopal Church, make friends with the priest, and get involved in whatever they were doing at the church for the weekend or the weeks or whatever it happened to be in time. And she listed all those as her fly fathers, kept in touch with them as much as she could, email, letters, that kind of stuff. They were mentors as well. Hmm. In particular, she remembered the rector of her parish in Los Angeles. I think it was All Saints. I don't remember. I'm not sure. You know, my memory at my age is like a steel sieve.
Yeah.
And, but you know, I've lost all the names of those guys. But yeah, they were mentors of Ann B. And a lot of the bishops of the Episcopal Church. She loved to come to what we called our General Convention, the big every 3-year gathering of the clan. And she would serve as a page in the House of Bishops, taking messages from one person to another. She loved that. She loved to be close to whatever was going on, whatever the action was. She was a piece of that. And, of course, as you probably know, she volunteered in our homeless clinic in our homeless center in Denver for a number of years, mostly just washing laundry, trying to match pairs of socks and that sort of thing, and just being friendly with all of the homeless who went through the place day by day.
You know, I was just going to say, I watched some footage of her in her latter years, and I had a chill go up my back, Bishop Fry, because I lost my mom when I was 21, and had my mom grown older, Anne was an identical match to my mother. Identical.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, face, no, she just had a little bit of a crooked thing in her, just a tiny, hardly noticeable crooked thing in her nose, just the structure of her face, even just her hair. Identical to my mother. And then when I find out more and more about Ann B. Davis, you know, her heart, her serving heart. I mean, she really was a servant, wasn't she?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes. In her latter years, she was serving in every way she could here at her local parish. St. Helena's in a little town called Burney, very close to where we live. And she served as a lay reader. She would read lessons in church on Sunday, sang in the choir, and for a number of years, as a lay Eucharistic minister, would take communion, Holy Communion, to shut-ins. Very active, a real servant's heart, and that just came through all of the time. Anby was the genuine article. There was no pretense about her. She wouldn't put up with pretense and was quick to notice it whenever it appeared to other people,
yeah,
including yours truly.
Yeah, I can imagine. Okay, just sort of quickly here, because I know you're not a big fan of talking about yourself, but your spiritual journey, I mean, you know, you haven't been Bishop William Fry your entire life. Did you grow up in a God family and everyone believed in Jesus, or was this a conversion experience for you? How did you get into this full-time God stuff?
Well, no, I think we grew up in a kind of normal family. My father was the primary spiritual influence. I mean, he was the one that took me to church. Heard my prayers as a little child and so on. But we were not an overly religious family at all, just regular churchgoers. And suddenly, back about, 1949, I discovered that God wanted me to be a priest. And I wasn't sure what a priest did. But I knew that it was there. You know, as a late teenager, you can hold opposing viewpoints in your head very easily. I wasn't sure there was a God, but I knew that if there was a God, he wanted me to be a priest. And so I finished up my university career. I'd been working in radio in Houston for a long time, and finished up university, went to seminary, got ordained, and I suppose that was my conversion experience there. Hmm. Kind of grew with that.
Let me ask. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's all right. That's enough of that.
Yeah. No, I know. I just sense that you're not a big fan of talking about yourself. So let me just finish this. And I'm looking at our time here, and you know, boy, you're a very easy person to chat with. We could go on forever quite easily here, but when it comes to Anne's spiritual life, you know, we talk a lot about this on our show. You know, going through times of doubt or trials or tribulation, or, you know, Mother Teresa's dark night of the soul, whatever it is. What was Anne's darkest time in life, do you think?
I don't know, Drew. I don't think it happened while she lived with us. She may have had one, but it probably was before she moved into the Fry family.
Hmm.
She was always very much up, knew the Lord and knew about the resurrection of Jesus. And you know, you just, when you know that, you really can't be down about anything else. There is a God, and we know him by name. And she joined with us every morning here at the house. When we did our morning prayers together and Bible readings, just a very real part of that. And I'm just not sure of any dark night of the soul that Anby may ever have had.
You know, I envy people that have that gift of just being alive. You know, they just have an upness about them. Do you know what I mean?
That's right. Oh, I do know what you mean. Physically, she was beginning to deteriorate. She had arthritis in her knees and didn't have any rotator cuffs, had limited arm movement. Her sight was beginning to dwindle, and her hearing aids were very powerful. But apart from that, she was very much alive. I mean, she'd walk into a room and light it up.
What do you think you'll miss most about her? Just her disposition, do you think?
Her disposition, her presence, her loving nature, her avid curiosity about God and the world, her competitive spirit. She was a very competitive Scrabble player, my goodness. Hard to play with her, and when she lost, it was, which was rarely, it was a major tragedy. I mean, that's probably her dark night of the soul.
Yeah. Oh, boy. There. I just get a visual. That's just funny. Just funny. Well, a mixed response. I'll finish with this. I have a mixed reaction to when I think about you being the one to have found her. My mixed reaction is this. I'm so sorry that you had to be the one to find her on the bathroom floor and having hit her head and fallen. But I'm so thankful it was you that found her. Do you know?
Well, I'm glad too. I'm glad she didn't have to go through those last minutes alone.
Mm. Well, I'm just so sorry for your loss, Bishop Fry, and again, I would just ask our listeners to pray for you and your wife in particular, her health. But you know, I know that you live with a hope of life after death, and
absolutely,
and a restored relationship with the Creator. I know you live with that hope, and so I know that's the thing that sustains you in this. But still, there's got to be those times where you just where you're sad and you're hurt and you're yeah. So I wish you the best, Bishop Fry. I really do.
Drew, thank you. It's been a real pleasure talking with you, and want to wish you the very best, and God bless you and all of your listeners.
Thank you, sir. It was lovely to chat.
And bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Well, there you go. A lovely tribute to Ann B. Davis.
What a voice that guy had.
Oh, I
know. I wonder he was radio. Jeez.
That's the first thing I said to him when I spoke to him on the phone this week. I said, you are Mr. Radio Guy, aren't you? Yeah. I find myself having to lower my voice just to compete with him.
Yes, me too.
But a great tribute to Ann B. Davis, who, of course, played Alice on the Brady Bunch. You know, I think that was only on for 5 years.
Yeah, not that long.
And what an impact. I mean, you know, reruns, et cetera, but
oh, yeah, they
syndication.
Movies of the week and stuff like that. Yeah. But still, yeah. Anybody our age, like, we were raised by Ann B.
In the
Davis,
40s.
Too.
Sure, yeah. We were.
Easily.
Sure. We wanted her to get with Sam the Butcher, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
All right, a short break. When we come back, our Hollywood correspondent, Carrie Pomeroli. Stay with us. Hey, folks, I want to tell you about the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. You ready for this? For $12.50, that's right, only $12.50, we'll mention your organization's name, website, and a brief description. Did you catch that? During each show, we'll read out your organization's name, website, and a brief description for only $12.50. Now, obviously, there's no point in doing that only once during a four-hour show, so we'll read your advertisement four times per show for an entire month, and each time we do it, it'll only cost you $12.50. It's kind of like putting an advertisement up on every church bulletin in the GTA, except you don't have to get permission from that grumpy old lady at the front desk. Now look, because there are limited spots available for our 1250 special, why don't you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250. Now sure, we're right in the middle of things here in the show, but if you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250, we'll take your name and number and call you back on Monday to sign up for the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. This is nuts. Are you sure we want to do this? How am I supposed to make any money?